Happy hour. Welcome to it, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program. New Sports Talk 98.7. Bloomington's Voice, WGCL, AM 1370, and WGCLradio.com, wherever you're listening this afternoon. Welcome to the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour. In the last, 5 minutes or so has not been very happy in Happy Hour. The Indiana Hoosiers, who have led all afternoon, they led 1-0 on a Brianna Copeland home run. They led 2-1 on an Avery Parker home run. The Penn State Nittany Lions, with 2 outs in the top of the eighth, everything was going just fine, have hit a 2-run home run to lead 4-2. They have now followed that with a single and a double. Luckily, the runners did not score. It's second and third with 2 outs. Brianna Copeland, who pitched 6 strong innings and then went to third base, is back in the circle trying to put out this fire. And Shonda Stanton's crew, the 2 seed in the Big Ten softball championships, is looking, they have last at bats. That's the best news I have for you right now. Are looking to get out of this pickle, as we recall, and they keep showing us here on the broadcast, that Penn State knocked out Indiana last year in extra innings in the eighth inning. Let's hope history doesn't repeat itself. All of a sudden, the Penn State dugout is up and raring to go. Every Thursday, we chat with our great friend Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star. He joins us in the studio today. It's 83 degrees. Why aren't we outside? What are we doing indoor radio for?
Gorgeous.
It is gorgeous outside. How have you been, my friend?
I'm good. You?
Survived graduation weekend. Everything's good?
Yeah, no, can't complain.
How are the kids doing? Everybody good?
Driving me crazy.
Oh, that's good. Then they are perfect children. That's exactly what they should be doing. Copeland does get the strikeout. The inning does end, and we will keep you updated. Indiana must score 2 in the bottom of the eighth to keep things rolling along. If they get 3, they will advance. The winner is Minnesota is waiting for the winner this afternoon. They defeated Ohio State in extra innings earlier, the Big Ten softball championships. Well, there's never a dull moment. There is no seasons for anything anymore. What happens at 8 o'clock tonight? Well, the NFL is going to announce their schedule, and we're nowhere near football season. Indiana basketball has things they're announcing on their schedule. We've got players in the portal. We have new players in the portal, but today is busy. We have today is the anniversary to the day of the establishment of Indiana men's soccer, 50 years on the button. We have the portal, transfer portal, which didn't exist 50 years ago.
Is tomorrow the anniversary of the first IU soccer-related transfer rumor?
Probably not.
The first?
Probably not.
Maybe the 50th anniversary of the first message board post calling for the sacking of the manager?
Jerry Yeagley? No. That wouldn't be it either. How times have changed. But what is official today, as you allude to, the transfer portal closes when? At midnight? There has to be some kind of time where it...
Yeah, midnight is... Again, a reminder that's only for non-graduate transfers. Graduate transfers not beholden to any of these deadlines. So if you wanted to graduate and transfer, you could just do that whenever. But I think broadly speaking, when you put up a deadline like this one, you know, everyone—I don't say everyone will adhere to it—but it just sort of creates a, you know, like I'm trying to think of a good sort of analogy. It creates just kind of an expectation that lots of people follow. It's a handy date. So even if you're a grad transfer, especially given the fact that, like, obviously you'll be graduating, most grad transfers will be graduating around now and will be thinking if they do want to transfer that, you know, that this is the time they would just naturally
do it.
But
that is a different category.
Yeah. Think about it this way. If you put up, you know, if you are outside of a rock concert and there's a bunch of turnstiles and you don't put up lanes, then people will just kind of mill over to the turnstiles. If you cordon off, you know, for lines, people form lines. You don't have to tell them. It's just sort of natural. It's like that
scene. It's a guardrail.
It's like that scene in A Few Good Men where Tom Cruise asked Noah Wiley where in the Guantanamo Bay manual it says that the mess hall is. And he says, I followed the crowd at chow time. Like, that's kind of, I think, what this deadline is going to wind up being for a lot of players, even the ones that aren't necessarily – the ones that are beholden to it have to be in by midnight.
Well, that's
the
my
ones
question.
That aren't, I think, still probably – you're going to see them coalesce around this deadline just because it's kind of convenient for everybody.
The question I have for you, I'm a sophomore. I've put my name in the NBA draft. I'm not invited to any of these workouts or anything else. I don't have to pull my name out of the NBA draft until next month, but then does that mean I can't be in the portal? See, this is all this weird stuff that goes on.
You can be in the portal. Okay, so you can –
I just have to announce I'm going to be in the portal.
As long as you have to enter the portal, you have to actually fill out the paperwork and enter the portal. Gotcha. Now, it's worth saying, as long as you are preserving your eligibility, going through the steps required to preserve your eligibility, you can go into the portal. You can be in the NBA draft. You can stay in the NBA draft as long as you're allowed. I think May 31st is the deadline this year.
Yes, I think that's right.
It's 10 days after the combine ends. You can stay in the portal, and like you could be Indiana's starting two guard. Say, I declare for the draft, I'll maintain my eligibility. I'm going into the transfer portal because I want to know what's out there. And if Indiana will have you back, you can do all that, and on May 31st announce, I'm withdrawing from the draft. I'm withdrawing from the transfer portal. I'm returning to Indiana.
You have all these options.
But those options obviously also require Indiana could say, well, no, if you're going to leave, we're just going to recruit over you. You know, if that's what you – if you can't commit to us, we're not going to commit to you. We're just we got to go find somebody for this
But all
spot.
These possibilities are legal. They're all open and on
and
the table.
And there's going to be dozens of kids going through them right now.
Indiana, the first two runners have advanced, one on a infield hit, the second on a hit to left field. Second and third, after a sacrifice bunt, moves everybody over, and the two-seeded Indiana Hoosiers are in business. One out. They need two runs to tie. Penn State leads 4-2 after a two-run home run in the top of the eighth, live here on a Thursday afternoon. And I'm trying to see who's at the plate here. Wind's blowing out to left. That's where all the home runs have gone today. And it's the top of the order with Cora Bassett for your Hoosiers. She is 0-3 today. Indiana has not hit the ball at all this afternoon. And they do need to score some runs. That's Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star. Speaking of the combine, to the surprise of absolutely nobody, Trayce Jackson-Davis and Jalen Hood-Schifino are invited. They're two of the 78 that will be in Chicago from the 15th through the 21st, as we were talking about. What do you know about these? Is Trayce Jackson-Davis going to do things at the combine? Jalen Hood-Schifino, who talks about this? Is that just their social media? How would we learn if they're going to participate or be in that? We've talked about Trayce Jackson-Davis forever. The scouts have talked about him forever. Is there any upside for him participating in the combine? How does this work?
Yeah, so this is kind of the annual debate, and the NBA is trying to put some sort of guardrails in place, some things that will compel more players to play at the combine. Because if for example, you're Jalen Hood-Schifino and you've got a pretty reasonable guarantee that you're going to be a top, you know, let's say like a top 20 pick or a first round pick or whatever. You may go to the combine and test and do interviews and say, I don't want to play. I'd rather not play for everybody, put myself on that stage. I'd rather be in the slightly more controlled environments of individual workouts from teams that weren't going to invite me in. They're going to put me in a specific kind of situation to show them what they, you know, what they want from me, yada, yada, yada. Typically, players like Trayce Jackson-Davis that are probably more maybe into the first round, second round, that kind of, you know, that kind of tier, will try to play. The flip side is a player like Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think, has every right to look at the NBA scouts and say, I played 4 years in college. Like, you know, I played for Indiana in the Big Ten for 4 years in college. The last two of them for a coach who'd spent his entire career to this point in the NBA. So, you know, what else do you need from me?
Yeah, my resume is full.
The
right.
NBA is trying to put some stuff in place that will compel more players to play because they don't want the combine to just turn into this thing where, you know, half the guys pull out.
And the NFL does. I don't understand where you're going here,
but
because
remember it all. Remember, geez, I think
what are you doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff though gets collectively bargained.
Oh, okay. So, but they're not employees yet, which is odd.
Well, but they're going to be, and. Yeah. The NBA has a much, quite frankly,
it never fails. And the Hoosiers tie it up 4-3. The pitch beforehand, 4-4. Excuse me, that would be tied. The pitch before that was popped up to the first baseman. She's staring directly into the western sunshine. She steps on first base and loses the ball.
Yep,
it's an out. Bassett should be out.
Landed in foul ground.
Landed in foul territory. So Bassett gets another bite of the cherry and laces a one-bounce double off the wall. The two runners ahead of her score. Now you have the winning run at second base instead of two outs, and who knows what's going on. The number two hitter is up. Do you know who the number two hitter is for Indiana?
Is it?
I hope it's Taryn Kern. She's 0 for 3 today. She has not hit the ball hard, if at all. I think she struck out twice. And if she comes to the dish with one out, you got to walk her.
Yeah, I would think
you've got to walk her.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hold on. It's that Zach Osterman and Mike Glasscock. This is the Big Ten quarterfinals, the number 2 seed Indiana Hoosiers. We're up 2-1, 2-2, trailed 4-2 in the top of the eighth. Now in the bottom of the eighth with last at bats, they have tied the game at 4 apiece, and the winning run is on second base for Shonda Stanton's crew. There is, well, you know what? We'll go back because they're talking about, what do you want to do? I don't know. Do you want to pitch? How about you? She's laughing. Everybody's laughing. And that's totally unlucky for Penn State. Absolutely unlucky. Penn State's second run happened on a Texas leaguer where Indiana's shortstop went out and ran into the center fielder and the ball dropped. That's how they tied the game. So this has kind of all just balanced itself out in the weird world.
Exit velocity not very high.
No, not at all. But here, because of chance at exit velocity, it is Taryn Kern. She bats second. She is the Big Ten Player of the Year. Unanimous Freshman of the Year. The California native was hitting .437 coming into today. She is 0 for 3. What a time to break to break out of an 0 for 3 slump and perhaps win the ball game for the Hoosiers. Lingenfelter came in the seventh, or maybe it was the sixth, and has thrown nothing but gasoline. It's been hard to hit, but Indiana scraped out 2 base hits this inning and then a rip double to tie it. And here's the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Let's throw that. That was buried in the lead. Did you notice that? Did you read the release?
Yes.
You start with Big Ten Player of the Year, and then you mentioned she was all freshman team. The count is 1-2. After Kern has fouled one off and looked at one. Softball here on a third. You never thought you'd walk into a softball deal, did you? Well, they're 40-15. It's team 50. Yeah. It's a big deal. And they're trying to avoid Penn State knocking them out in extra innings for the second consecutive Big Ten tournament. Indiana's RPI is 36. They don't have anything to worry about getting into the NCAA tournament, which is good
baseball
news.
Baseball and softball are both in that place. Comfortably in, just going to be a question of kind of where you land.
Got a little help from Maryland last weekend. They stubbed their toe after sweeping Indiana here in Bloomington.
Baseball.
In baseball, yes. Correct. Yep. Indiana's only one game behind. Scott Rowland will be honored tomorrow night. Bark in the Park on Saturday. Senior Day on Saturday with the Boilermakers in town. Kern looks at ball 3. So the count
is
full.
What time is the Saturday game?
1:00 as of now. The weather I gave when you were coming in says morning thunderstorm. That's fine. Do it in the morning. 1:00 and then noon on Sunday for the Boilermakers. You got to get an IU baseball game in here, don't you? You got to get in there.
Well, Bark in the Park.
That's it.
Take Mo.
Take Big Mo. Billy White Shoes. That's the inside scoop there. So we'll see how that works out. So the combine we've been talking about is Kern fouls another pitch off 3-2, 4-4, bottom of 8. The combine, who does the combine help? Because it doesn't help Trace Jackson.
It tends to help more players like that. The players it probably helps the most
like
are the ones
Houston
that are
State?
More the ones that are sitting somewhere on the fence between like the first round, early second, ones that maybe are hoping to at least think about Caleb Houston last year, got drafted second round, but it was a second round guarantee. So a player that maybe can go there and prove something that ultimately guarantees them an opportunity somewhere. Now the other part of the combine is it's just an opportunity where everybody's in one place at the same time. So, like, if you literally any team can say, hey, come, well, let's sit down and talk. Come through the interview process with us. Whereas, obviously, if you want to do that, you have to be invited to the draft workout, and you got to go here, and you got to go there, and there's obviously limits on everyone's time and so forth. I think that the difference with the combine is everybody is under one roof. So, the guy who's going to be a top 3 pick probably isn't going to do it, probably not going to play. He'll test, he'll talk to the media, whatever, but he'll be very controlled about what he's going to,
let
out.
His future's secure, right?
Yeah. It's more for the guys that have some sort of opportunity to, to enhance their draft stock. And maybe could go from being, early middle second round to first round, could go from being into first round to, you know, could you, not necessarily like you're going to do it all at the combine, but if you have a nice combine and everybody thinks maybe you're back into the first round, then all of a sudden some teams around the lottery start taking a little more notice of you, and then they invite you in, and you have a couple good workouts, and so suddenly you go from being maybe 25 to 30 to being like 15 to 20 or even 12 to 15, whatever it is.
They really are splitting hairs. So yeah. If you can find a way to either disprove a misconception or But here's the thing. If Trey, like you've said this before, and this is why I can't get this out of my head. I'm trying to have you help me here. Taylor Minnick is up as Kern flies out to left. There are two outs. Winning run is at second for the Hoosiers. The Edgewood Mustang is at the plate. First team all Big Ten. The left-handed hitter has a chance to win it for the Hoosiers. And we'll tell you if she does here momentarily. But you told me Trace Jackson Davis goes to the combine. He hits 10 out of 14 threes in some scrimmages. That's not going to make him into a shooter. That means he had a nice week at the combine.
Yeah.
But maybe a guy that you heard doesn't have a good work ethic, or maybe you hear this.
Well, but Trace Jackson Davis goes to the combine, and maybe he answers one of the few questions that people really have remaining about him.
Okay.
And so suddenly, because, you know, in the NBA, we talked about this with Trace Jackson Davis at Indiana. It got to a place where it sometimes felt like he wasn't shooting the threes, even though Mike Woodson kept saying he could shoot him. I can let him shoot him, because he felt like he couldn't afford to waste the possessions. He couldn't afford to just say, I'm going to shoot four threes a game, because that's four possessions where I'm not down on the block, taking the ball, backing somebody down, exploiting a mismatch, passing out of a double team, creating for somebody else. Well, in the NBA, you can do more of that stuff. And, you know, a year ago when we were having these conversations about Trace Jackson Davis and why might he go to the, you know, a G League opportunity or something like that, it's because
she didn't catch it. That ball hit the wall.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
It's ground rule double. Game's over. Indiana's already used her challenge.
Oh, well,
that's terrible. That's terribly unlucky. You saw it hit the wall just like I did.
I'd have to see it slowed down.
But what do you think? First thing tells you what?
It looked like it trapped it.
She trapped it on the wall.
Very brute. Let's see.
Oh,
no,
yeah, she
caught it.
Look at how it is in her mitt. We're watching the
replay.
This is
great radio. That's a catch. That's a catch.
It was coming out, but you can't make that. You can't overturn it. Let's put it that way.
No, there's
so Taylor Minnick hits a deep fly ball. If it's 220 feet to center field, she hit it 219 feet 9 inches, and the center fielder for Penn State catches it. The good news for Indiana, they got two runs. They had to get two runs. It's 4-4, top of nine. As Cora, oh geez, what was the leadoff girl's name? Cora. She had a two-run double to tie things up. Taryn Kern could not move the runner over, and Taylor Minnick could not move the runner in. 4-4, top of nine in Champaign, Big Ten quarterfinal softball. So back to – we get a five-minute break from that for a minute. So in the camps, Trace Jackson Davis, is this more important for him or Jalen Huchefino, because he's been considered perhaps a fringe lottery pick?
Again, it's hard to say, because Huchefino is probably one of the players that may try to control his exposure at the combine a little bit more. I don't know that for certain, but he's the sort of player that would certainly have those options. Maybe more so than a player like Trace Jackson Davis, who I think a lot of people feel is probably sort of sitting on the fence between end of the first round, beginning of the second. But Trace Jackson Davis, again, might be a player who feels justified in saying, listen, I played 4 years in college. I scored, you know, I was about to say he scored 1,000 points. He scored 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds. I had 600, 400, 300 blocks, whatever. You know what I am. You know, like, who I am. You want me, put me through your drills. Don't just sit here and watch me play. Put me through your drills. So it kind of, I mean, it's both of them, for different reasons, kind of sit on the fence. I would be sort of surprised, I guess, just as somebody who's sort of watched combine from afar, if Jackson Davis didn't participate in some of the live action. Huchefino, I could see going either way. Again, I think the biggest advantage for both of these guys is, for different reasons, but I think the biggest advantage for both of these guys is they walk into an event where every NBA team is. And every NBA team can watch them test, can watch them play if they want, can watch them go through workouts if they want, and can sit down with them if they want. And it's the one place where you can get the most quantity.
And different than the NFL combine, they actually do basketball games. They play, don't they? Get out there and play 5-on-5 and things like that.
Yeah.
Where football, you're just more of a metrics thing. They do that the same in basketball, but it's a lot easier to turn around and play a bunch of basketball games than it is for football games. That's Zach Osterman from the Indy Star. When we come back, we will talk about Mackenzie Mbako, Tomorrow is D-Day. You've written an article at the Indy Star, IndyStar.com. Please support local journalism at Zach Osterman. Go read about it. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. We have schedule updates. John Rothstein, he never sleeps. In May, we sleep. He's lying. All he does is break news about schedules in May. So we give John some credit there. We'll talk about where Indiana is going and what they are doing. And what else do we need to know? The Hoosiers for Good is going to have an event at Huber Farm. And then that's similar but different. If you know anything about that, you can help us out with that. So a lot of Indiana basketball news for a quiet summer here in Bloomington. That's never quiet. The portal closes. I'll get your thoughts on anybody that jumps in today that Indiana looks at and with the recruiting this time of year. Two scholarships are left. Two scholarships are left. We'll talk all about it with Zach Osterman, the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on a Thursday, and we'll give you an update on Penn State, Indiana next. All right, welcome back to Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on a Thursday afternoon. Indiana and Penn State, 4-4, top of 9. Indiana gets two quick outs from Brianna Copeland, who returned to the circle after six innings. Heather Johnson pitched the seventh and most of the eighth before Copeland came in to put out the fire. Hoosiers trying to pick off a base runner, tried to throw it in their own dugout. If they did, the Nittany Lions would have the lead. Thankfully, it did not go in the dugout. It is second and third with two outs. 4-4. Indiana will have last bats regardless, the top of the Penn State order, as the lineup turned over has caused the issue. At the plate is their third place hitter. She is 2-for-4 today. And now when you throw the ball around the infield, Zach, instead of first and second, now you have second and third. Yeah. A base hit's going to probably score a couple. Well, you know what you do here, you strike out, and that's what they're hoping for from Copeland, to get a strikeout to put the fire out, and then Indiana just needs a run to win it. Shonda Stanton is huddling up everyone in the circle now, giving the final instructions, and it's a 1-2 count, throwing the ball to second base on a 1-2 count. That's not how you do it. What do they tell you to do? Get the batter. Got to get the batter. Got to have some mature decision-making out there. But here we are talking about softball, Big Ten quarterfinal. So if you think it's you don't like the criticism, well, we could not be talking about it. There's two ways to look at it, and that's a good job for Team 50. They're 40-15. We'd like to see them continue. The winner will play Minnesota tomorrow, 5:00 approximately. It says here on the TV in the semifinals. We will update you as it continues. Thankfully, Osterman is here for all of the basketball news. May used to be a boring day. You know, you get off work, you do this, you do that. Out at first base, and the Hoosiers will have a chance to win it. Great play at short. Woo! 4-4.
That doesn't hit the pitcher. I think it gets
that through. Doesn't hit the pitcher. It's a two-run single. Got to have a little luck here. Penn State, two outs earlier, hit the third base bag. They went on to score that run. It's a mess. Basketball, what are we doing? We've got updates to the schedule. Let's just get those out of the way because it's not a big deal. Since I have seen you last, Gainbridge has been confirmed with Harvard. We've added Wright State and Florida Gulf Coast. How many holes are left in this? How many more games do
four.
We have? Four more?
I just wrote something about this today.
Okay, great. I haven't gotten there yet, obviously.
It's not up, I don't think.
Okay.
If it is, nobody's told me. We know seven of, I guess, a maximum of 11 possible games. If you look at the schedule the way it's laid out, I'd be surprised if they didn't hit 11 because of the gaps that still exist just in terms of like the number of days between the games that we're aware of. I think I would be surprised if there's another marquee game out there after they added Auburn to Kansas and the two games in New York.
The only marquee game you would think would be the replacement for the ACC Big Ten
Challenge.
There
won't be one this year.
Just not a game at all?
No, the Big Ten isn't organizing anything for this season.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that was a marquee game.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's a hole to fill?
No, I don't think that will be happening.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. It's always possible. I've heard no rumblings of that happening. And, you know, typically, like, you think about that, the Kansas series, you at least start to hear some of that stuff by now. Now, I think the Kansas series maybe came out in June of 22. So maybe there's a window, possibly. But I think what seems more likely to me is Indiana already working ahead toward non-conference schedule 2024, when you won't have Kansas, when it's not clear whether or not you'll have the Gavitt games. when there's just, you know, there's going to be a lot more question about sort of like, and we don't really know yet if the Big Ten is going to try and build some sort of replacement for the ACC Big Ten Challenge. So,
well, because in 24, when does USC and UCLA get here?
24.
It is high. It is far, and it is gone. The cleanup hitter, Sarah Stone, has ended the proceedings in Champaign. A solo home run that has not landed yet. Indiana wins 5-4. Stone's eighth home run of the season. They dodged every bullet possible in the last two innings, and that ball was absolutely crushed.
It was.
It has a flight attendant.
Nobody was running very, very hard after that when they could tell where it was going to land.
The neck whiplash from the pitcher turning around caused a breeze, and Indiana walks it off, avenging their Big Ten tournament loss in walk-off fashion. Last year, Penn State beat them in extra innings. This year, Indiana, and this ball is just mauled. Everybody knew it the second hit the bat. Oh, the pitcher just goes, oh. She didn't turn around. Stone knew it was gone. The building knew it was gone. And it's dead center, right over the eye, over the Big Ten camera pod. That thing went 400 feet.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, that went a long way. Okay, Hoosiers win. Tomorrow, Indiana can exact revenge. Minnesota took 2 out of 3 from the Hoosiers in Minneapolis during the season. That will be semifinal number one tomorrow, approximately. I don't know. What did it say? I saw 5 o'clock. I saw 6 o'clock. I don't know. We'll worry about that tomorrow. All right. Great job, Shonda Stanton and the crew. In 9 innings, only 5 hits. They gave up 12. But again, until they change the rules, 5-4 Hoosiers win. Walk-off home run, Sarah Stone.
Did you see that viral tweet thread from an Arsenal fan that, like, I was about 90% sure was parody about how we should bin goals as the way to decide soccer matches? And, like, it was pretty serious for a while, and then he got to a tweet where he said, we should basically reward beautiful, free-flowing football. And like
just not the results of it.
He gave an example like a 0.2 goals for hitting the crossbar, like that kind of thing. Yeah. And he gave an example like if you can do rondos for 5 minutes and hold onto the ball in the last 5 minutes of the match, you get half a goal.
So then
I thought it was serious till I read that, and I thought he was giving out half goals for rondos in the last 10 minutes.
To be fair, there was a
6 p.m. tomorrow.
There was at one point talk.
That's
about
Eastern. All times Eastern. 6 p.m. tomorrow.
So that's why I saw 5 o'clock. That was their time. There was one point, and I don't know how many years ago this was, instead of penalty kicks, somebody wanted to award who had the most corners as a way to decide. And they were serious, like proposal written. It's like, why would corners? Well, because it shows you're attacking. No, that means the other team could just put the ball out for safety purposes, and that's not how this works anymore. All right, so here's what we know. No, Tuesday, November 7th is now going to be Florida Gulf Coast University, according to John Rothstein. Correct?
Pat Chambers,
former Penn State coach.
He's coming back.
16th.
November 16th is Wright State. 19th and 20th will be the Empire Classic. That's
we don't know
the pairings yet, but that's two of Louisville, Texas, UConn. 26th will be Harvard and Indy.
Cambridge.
December 9th will be Auburn in Atlanta. And December 16th will be Kansas at home, and I think that's everything we know so far.
Right. So you think about 4 more to fill in there.
Yes.
So here's what I'm gonna go out loud. You tell me right or wrong. You're gonna play Sunday of Thanksgiving. You're gonna play New York City Sunday, Monday, pre Thanksgiving. So I'm guessing you're gonna add a Wednesday or a Friday in that Thanksgiving.
Yes, I mean, here's the problem you got. You've got 9 days between your opener and Wright State. There's really a gap for 2 games there.
Sure.
But you also have 9 days after Kansas, but before Christmas. And you may restart Big Ten play before New Year's, but you certainly won't restart it before Christmas. So, realistically,
you're going to want to get the taste out of your mouth out of New York City.
Maybe. I mean, you know, and I would say a Friday would be more likely than a Wednesday to me.
Because of the travel.
Yeah, the travel and, you know, maybe the ability to just sort of turn kids loose. And say, like, if you, you know, I mean, like, okay, let's say McKenzie Mbako is an Indiana Hoosier. Let's just say he is. You know, for the sake of this argument, you can just say, hey, you can just stay. You know, you went to Roseville Catholic.
We'll see you Friday morning.
Right. Yeah. You fly out on, get back on Thanksgiving night, like that kind of thing, whatever. Yeah. If you don't want to fly home, like, cause this is what happens after bowl games. Like when Indiana played in the Gator Bowl years ago and we were all in the airport in Jacksonville, half the team was flying
to their homes
because it was the off season. It wasn't the semester. So if you wanted to fly back to Bloomington with the team, you could. But if you just wanted to get on a plane and fly home, I think Aiden Rafferty might have been on my flight to DC because Indiana played Maryland in basketball that weekend. Anyway, the point is, it's almost like you got five games. You got five dates you'd like to fill, and four games left to fill them. And it's weird because it doesn't feel like the season is starting abnormally early. And the Big Ten tournament is the 13th through the 17th. I looked this up today. You got 10 weeks. You know, every once in a while you wind up in a cycle where, like, the conference tournaments start like a half week earlier in the calendar than normal, just because of where, like, the calendar falls every 5 years or 7 years or whatever. Right. But the point is, there's 10 weeks between January 1st or the week of New Year's Day and conference tournament. That's normal. That's exactly how much you do. And you're going to have two Big Ten games probably between Harvard and Auburn.
Yes.
So that'll fill that. That'll fill that void.
Instead of presumably playing them Wednesday, Saturday, you can play them Wednesday, because you have that whole week. That used to be the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Yes.
That's wide open now.
Yes. And you can, and that won't be. Now, Auburn is the 9th.
Saturday, correct. I'm looking at the calendar.
I think what you'd, I guess that's a little tricky. I think what you'd probably do is, you'd play maybe December 29 or November 29, 30, December 1, and then another one.
5, 6, 7.
Yeah, something like
4,
that.
4, 5, 6.
Yeah. But the point is, that fills that gap. But you've still got the two. You've got the question of whether or not you want a game between the Empire Classic and Harvard, because that's a decent amount of time off at a time of year when teams tend to do the thing where they play a lot in a short space of time because there's no class going on.
Correct.
So they don't have
to
worry.
You got to put a game on that Friday. You got to put a game there.
But then you're only going to be able to put one game either in the 9-day gap between Florida Gulf Coast and Wright State or between Kansas and Christmas.
Good point.
And the gap to Kansas, from Kansas to Christmas, is longer than normal too. Usually there's not an extra Saturday there. This year there is.
The Christmas Saturday is the 23rd. So
normally you would host again because you want to build those ticket packages for the holidays.
When the kids are gone.
You want to sell. So that makes it, I guess, maybe more likely to me they'll fit a game in on the Friday of Thanksgiving week, because you'll want that 3-game ticket package, because that's a decent amount of money. You know, people kind of forget, like, we talk so much about, you know, 8- and 9-figure sums in athletics that people sort of look at like, oh, you'll make like $5 million off that. $5 million is not nothing, you know. Probably not $5 million. It's probably $1 million. But the point is, $1 million is not nothing. You can't just throw that away.
Right.
My guess, I guess, and maybe I should amend what I wrote because I wrote something else. My best guess would be.
Breaking news here.
That my best guess would be that they'd play one game, either one game between Wright State and Florida Gulf Coast, which is uncommon, like the 11th or the 12th, maybe, and then two, and then one on the Friday of Thanksgiving, and then two between Kansas and New Year's.
Oh, it's 15 days.
Or maybe they just...
Well, they took 9 days off last year. Don't forget that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think they hate... But, I mean, like, you could play, you know, Kansas is on the 16th. It's a Saturday. You could play the 18th and the 21st.
Send everybody home on the 21st.
And then
bring them back 29th.
Yeah, something like that.
Because what you're not going to get from the Big Ten, and I don't care what they say, if you start Big Ten play, that weekend is the 29th, 30th, 31st is going to be played on.
Yeah, I think that's, well, you don't always wind up in that first round, but that is when Big Ten play will resume.
Because there's too much TV, because you need to lead into the bowl, you need to lead into the bowl games, you need to lead into the playoff, you need all that stuff. So that's all part of it. Whereas McKenzie Mbako makes his decision when tomorrow?
I don't think we know a firm time.
So all we follow at this time is what comes out of his social media, correct?
Yeah, or Andrew Slater, who's a really tapped in recruiting reporter and has been kind of announcing a lot of his visits and decisions and things. It could come from him. Every once in a while, sometimes a kid wants to make that announcement for themselves. Sometimes a kid wants to, you know, wants to maybe go to one person and give them the first interview or whatever it is. I mean, years ago, like Gary Harris announced through Brian Snow. So it kind of depends on the kid's preference, but I don't think we know an exact time. And I don't think that there is like a ceremony. I think it will just be an announcement. I could be wrong about that,
like,
but
push tweet and it pops up.
Yeah.
Right?
I've not seen anything to suggest that it's a, you know, like he'll be sitting at a table with two hats in front of him kind of thing.
Gotcha. We've got we've got plenty of time left, about 7-8 minutes. Mbako will come to Indiana because there is nobody here that can consistently score the basketball, and he will get a big plate to eat off of. He has a 6-year point guard to feed him incessantly and enough size inside to offset anything else going on, true or false.
I think that's the argument for Indiana.
Mike Woodson, coaching the NBA, Bill Self is not. Bill Self has put in 3 wing players, 6'8", just like Mbako the last 3 years in the first round of the draft. And I'll include Grady Dick in that this year.
And he's Bill Self. I mean, that's the, like, Kansas is maybe, especially in sort of a post Roy Williams UNC world, Kansas is maybe the most sort of like bankable, you know, just, I mean,
sure thing.
Yeah. I mean, and Duke always kind of did its own thing because Mike Krzyzewski had the connections through Team USA. And so that was always kind of its own sort of setup in a way. When these kids would wind up at Duke, and to some extent that culture has probably continued. Obviously McKenzie Mbako was originally signed with Duke.
Was one of 5 in the top 12 that signed there.
Yeah.
We provide the path of least resistance if you'd like to show his game.
No, off. there's, I mean, it goes, I think, a lot of ways. Like there's, you know, if you want to play for the program that is going to have like the biggest stage and the coach who's proven the most at the college level and all that, that's Kansas. If you want to go somewhere that is going to give you your biggest stage, your biggest,
that's a good point.
If you want to go somewhere that's going to give you the minutes, the shots, the possessions, the opportunities to prove I'm not just a top 10, top 15 player, I'm a top 10, top 15 prospect. Take me in the lottery. Take me in the first round. I can be a 3. I can be a stretch 4. Whatever, you know, whatever big path he sees being the best one for him to the NBA. Indiana is probably the place that provides the best platform for that right now. And you also still have the Mike Woodson factor of he's been in the NBA. He's got staff members who've been in the NBA. He's, you know, he can make a call and get you Carmelo Anthony on the phone or whatever. So it's kind of, I mean, it's obviously for the player, I think, one of those situations where it's like there's not really a wrong answer.
How important is it that he has chosen Indiana as one of his final 2? That has to be a nice siren nationwide as, hey, the guys are looking here.
Possibly. I mean, remember, remember Indiana wasn't a factor in his recruitment. In fact,
that's the point.
What's strange is
something we've done has attracted,
I think, it was pretty much Nike schools back in the fall.
And now it's Adidas schools.
I think he comes from a Nike AAU program. Now it's Indiana, it's Louisville, it's Kansas, St. John's. I think St. John's might be Nike.
Mike Anderson is going to get a piece of that $46 million.
Yeah, I saw that. That's you can leave that to one side. I'll look this up while we talk. St. John's is, it's all pictures of Mike Anderson. Give me pictures of St. John's
players,
basketball players.
What was the guy transferred from Purdue? What was his name that played there?
Aaron Wheeler.
There you go. So you've got an Aaron Wheeler action shots. Probably not.
Yeah, they're Nike. The point is the other 3 were Adidas, and obviously his final 2 were Adidas, which probably throws up some fascinating questions about this whole like apparel
wars,
you know, well, in the NIL era, like how different is it? And how different are things?
I think that's interesting because 2 of the 5 Adidas reps left Indiana. There are 5 national reps.
That's true.
Schifino and Trace are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a landing spot, again,
well, there's 5, 3 of them have left Adidas.
That's my point.
4 of them, if you want to count Grady Dick going pro. So
the Grady Dick Indiana angle.
Haley Van Leith going the other direction. She was Adidas at Louisville.
She went to Nike.
Now she went to LSU, which is a Nike school.
It's just a thing.
When you can have these relationships more directly through the NIL space, I think there's a little bit less of the, oh, he played for an Adidas program, so Adidas is going to tell him where they want him to. Right. Because you know that if a kid gets into a situation where they've got that notoriety and that exposure, and it's going to be good for you to have that brand relationship with them, it doesn't have to be this sort of passive, like, oh, we'll fund your AAU program. And, it's just like, hey, we'll draw it up. We have an NIL deal with you. You'll wear some Adidas gear. You'll be in some of our fashion shots. The greater point is
that's not a point of separation between Kansas and Indiana.
No.
That's the other fascinating part above this. So the window closes at midnight tonight. Two other kids jumped in, a kid from Tennessee, a kid from Creighton.
Another kid from Kansas who I think is more of an out-and-out forward. I don't think I can't remember his last name.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But I think he was more of a 4-5 than a 3-4. Like, I don't think it's a Kansas knows, it's not a one-for-one swap. Now, that doesn't mean Mbako's not going to Kansas. I'm just saying it was not a –
But they
knocked him off the roster for somebody better.
The greater point in this is why you keep two scholarships till the end of time, right? So you have flexibility to be in these discussions.
In this era, if that's what you want to do. Now, you don't have to. I mean, we talked about this before. Indiana really wasn't that active in the portal. They had a couple irons in the fire in the portal last year, a couple kids that if they wanted to commit, I think they probably would have taken them. But the emphasis last summer was much more on Malik Renew, convincing Race Thompson to take a sixth year. Can we get Trace Jackson Davis back out of the NBA draft and really make a go of this thing? And then when that all came together, I think the powers that be, at least in a sort of informal way, looked at it through the season and said, these guys are graduating. This guy says he's going to the draft. This guy's looking like a borderline lottery pick. We're going to have to replace a ton in the offseason. This will be a portal offseason. And now, again, like you can wind up in a situation where maybe Indiana signs a really good-looking – I'm just making this up – but they sign a really good-looking 2024 class. They only lose one or two pieces off the upcoming team, and they say, we're going to stick with what we have. We like Gabe Cupps as a sophomore point guard replacing Xavier Johnson. We think Trey Galloway is going to be a great, super senior. This guy's going to the draft.
But we know Walker's leaving because he can't stay.
These guys are staying and blah, blah, blah. And we've got these great freshmen coming in. So if we have a specific need that a portal player fills, we'll go fill it. But we're not building the offseason around the portal the way that I think they plan to this year. This didn't catch them by surprise, I guess is my point. And I don't think they would leave those scholarships open for the portal every year. Maybe they will. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think it's much more about – it is sort of much more about sort of your plan going into an offseason for these are the holes we have and this is how we want to fill them. The portal is just a different layer to that than it used to be.
And the portal is open – for business until midnight tonight, and we'll see if Mackenzie Mbako is a morning person, an afternoon person. Now, remember this. Kalel Ware said, I'm going to announce on a Tuesday, and the night before, he couldn't – he went early. So there is it's the wild, wild west, buddy. There are no rules. Do me a favor. Will you call in tomorrow afternoon if this all breaks while we're doing some live radio?
Sure.
Then we can talk about how that works out. I'm going to try to have Dustin Dupirak tomorrow as well. Why? We can talk about the Pacers. They're busy. The lottery is around the corner. The draft, as we mentioned, the combine and everything else going on. Get out and enjoy it, folks. It's 83 degrees in sunshine. Hoosiers walk it off in softball. Sarah Stone's home run puts them in the semis tomorrow at 6. For Osterman, I'm Glass. Have a great night.